receive the thoughts in the heart of God. Not that it just stores in our minds, but it lives out in our steps. Move me out of the way and the things that you want said today. Let them be said. In the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. The title of today's message is Withering Fruit. And we are continuing in a series entitled Message to My Church, looking, like I promised you, it was going to be a slow journey through the letters in Revelation where Jesus comes and says, church, this is what you're doing good, and church, this is what's getting you in trouble. And God is so honest with us about how he wants us to function as his people, as his body. We talked last week that when we are in Christ Jesus, we have inevitable fruit. Fruit's going to come to those that are in Christ Jesus. It's a supernatural thing that happens when we're positioned where God wants us to be. We're going to journey back to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to focus in on verse 2 today, the beginning part. And again, Jesus is saying, I know, I see, and I witness your works. And what you're doing for me and for my purposes, I celebrate. I see, and not only your works, but I see the toil, the struggle that it is. It's not easy walking after the heart of God and serving God in this land called earth. And then he goes on to say, and your patient endurance, and your patient endurance. You know, enduring again is a thing that we can do in multiple ways. We can endure through the power of the Holy Spirit, or we can endure through our own power. And when we are trying to endure serving Christ just on our strength, things get a little ugly. And things get shaped in wrong manner. But here, the statement of patience is a fruit that God provides through the Holy Spirit. And he says, church in Ephesus, I see that you are patiently enduring through the toil, and your works unto me are continuing. And then we move to John chapter 15, and we pick back up there in verse 5. If we can bring that scripture up. I am the vine, this is Jesus speaking, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, I love it, bears much fruit, inevitable. Fruit that's going to come. You're not going to have to fake it. It's going to come because it is a supernatural power that lives in you. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. And this is where we focus clear and look closely. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without being in the vine. It may feel like something, but to God, it will be nothing. It may win praises from people. It may make you feel all right about who you are. But apart from being connected to the vine, God brings it so clear through his word, it is nothing to me apart from me. It is nothing. How is your connection to the vine right now? If you had to look, and as we looked last week, what a beautiful vine. Now, that we go back to the other slide. that one's not so beautiful. But and we're going to look at this picture a little bit closer, but without the words here. But here is the vine that Jesus is talking about. And this is a vine that's been around a long time, and it is producing some powerful branches. Those branches that are connected to that vine, they're blessed. And look at the beautiful fruit that comes forth by being connected. And I want to ask all of us this question. How was your connection to the vine this week? What did that look like? Being connected to Jesus. What did that actually look like? And if you had to explain to someone, how were you connected to Jesus this week? How would you describe it? Well, busy, 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 busy. But I can promise you this. Whatever we accomplish apart from Him, in God's vision, in God's eyes, in God's understanding, It's nothing. It's of some value to us, but in the full expansion of what is really valuable. But when we take this gift called life and stay connected in the vine, truly connected to Jesus, then all life begins to send up this beautiful praise unto God, and we bring Him glory. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. How is your fruit? How is your fruit? Because if we are connected to the vine, the fruit is going to naturally come, and it's going to be all right. But how was your fruit this week? We all have different realities this week, right? Some were good, some were bad. But let's stop for a minute and think about this. What did your fruit look like this week? And this is what I appreciate so much about God, is that when we mess up, God says, "See, that's not what I have for you." And let's go to this next slide real quick. When it starts looking like that, that's called withering, wasted fruit. And God will allow us to see it to remind us of what we were created for. That is not what God wants. And that isn't what God provides. But that is a choice that we have. How was your fruit this week? And how is your branch doing right now? How's your branch doing? Remember last week, I mentioned to you that as an illustration, I was thinking I need some kind of fruit plant or tree that I can bring into the story. And so this is a branch from a loquat tree in my yard, and I cut it off last week. And as I had shared with you, you can see the dried up fruit there. Austin pointed out to me that there's some spider webs going on in there, and I look real close. I don't see any spider activity. But that's the condition this week of it being disconnected from its source. That tree trunk is the source, much like the vine of the grapevine is the source. But it's just dry. Try not to squeeze it too much. It'll be all over the floor. But that's the condition. And the question is, God loves to use visuals for us. Jesus did it all the time. And is that what our spiritual life looks like at this time? Is that the condition? John 15:6 tells us this. If anyone does not remain in me, Jesus says, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Let me read that one more time. If anyone does not remain in me, What happens? He is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Is God just trying to be mean to us right now? Is Jesus just trying to hurt somebody with a statement like this? No. He's reminding us of what occurs when we do not remain in him. We become dry and brittle and of no use. What we produce is what? Like this branch, nothing. And that isn't God's heart for us. Love would not sit by while we drifted and became something withered like this. Love would not do that. See, last week when this was taken off of the tree on a Sunday morning, it still was flexible, it still was green, and it had still had some beauty to it. But just a week, and look at what it's become. Now, a question would be, if we do not remain in Christ, we form habits of being separate from him. And we become dry spiritually. We begin to look at ourselves in ways of saying, well, God's cool with that. This is okay. But this isn't okay. And why isn't this okay? Because it's dead. It's not living. The impact of time impacted that branch greatly. Same way with us. As time passes, habits form, and the channel of death steps are not easily corrected. But it's also more than that. I took this branch and I said, you know, I could leave it up here on the platform, but I set it back there at the window where it got more sunlight. Now, it still would have been dry and brittle, but it wouldn't have been this brittle. But that sunlight coming through that window there sped up the condition of this. Same way with environment for us. The environment that we choose to remain in will change our condition. And that environment, God has given us the ability to choose the condition that is around us. Now, please understand, some things are just messed up, and we walk through them, and God gives us strength through it, right? But God says, regardless of what you're in, my presence is available to you. My path through this is available to you. And then the process of withering is a process of just being burned up and burned out. You know, this morning, one of the things that struck me real heavily is that people are fearful of coming into the house of God now. Now, for seasoned believers, you know, we can weather that for a little while, right? But it has consequences, because as I said, we need each other. We need each other. But what broke my heart today, visitors that would normally come through those doors, it's rare that they come. And so that's not just the condition here, that's all over this country, all over the world. And there have been people that will testify that have come through those doors. They had faith to step through. They came through. It wasn't easy. And their lives came and got connected to the vine. And they're living with the fruit of God in them now. But right now, there's such fear that it's hindering people coming in. We must pray as God's people, that the effectiveness of the church remains connected to the vine, and not to fear, but to the vine. Because God, his mercy and his grace, has seeded the gospel for all men to know. But we're living in a time where there's a shift that has occurred, and the opportunity for the word is being hindered by the environment that we live in. What is our responsibility? To stay connected to the vine, stay connected to each other, and not let time bring this result. Verse 7. What's that first word there? If. Very powerful word. It's talking about there's conditions that need to take place. Now, as people, we don't like conditions. We want things just to be automatic. I said it, so that's what I got. No, it's not true. Well, that's how I believe. Well, you can believe like that, but there's still an if. There's still an if. And here, if, Jesus said, you remain in me, and it doesn't stop there, and my words remain in you. That is, if we are vitally united and my message lives where? In your heart. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And that's a scripture over the years that's been a little challenging for me. Because I'm like, okay, you remember Aladdin in the lantern, right? You just rub that lantern and make your wish, right? And what? Boom! As a kid, I was amazed by that. I was like, what would I ask? And then what were some of the responses? I would ask for endless wishes, you know, where I can just keep this thing going. And sometimes when you look at that, you think, well, what's going on there? And it goes back to this. When we remain in Christ and his word remains in us, what we will ask will be right in a line with the heart of God. Now, we'll miss it from time to time. And can we say thank you, Lord, for not giving us everything that we've asked for, even with the Holy Spirit filling us, his word in us, walking. And can we say thank you, God? You know, I asked for it, and it didn't come. And about 10 years later, I realized, oh, thank you. But know this. That scripture is not an empty promise. It's saying the more you abide in me and my words abide in you, the fulfillment of your desires in your heart will live out as your reality. And it doesn't get any better than the reality of God for us. And you know what God's reality is, Chaz? It's not for us to have things easy on this earth. It's not to walk around everything being comfortable. And also, this world for believers is not going to always be an easy, safe place. It's not. In fact, from the very beginning of the church came into existence through the shedding of blood. Not only of the shedding blood of Jesus or the shed blood of Jesus, but the blood of the apostles. Can you imagine Paul was like, this thing's getting a little too risky for me. I'm not doing this anymore. And just walked away, right? Or Stephen would say, hey, they got stones in their hands. You know, I think I'll change my path for a little bit. I'll be honest. Are you ready, Candy? Are you ready, Ron? Are you ready, Chaz? Because the stones are in some hands, right? The stones are fired up. And will the radiance of God be on our countenance when they come? It's that old saying, to take us away. Lord Jesus. Lord. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Believe it 100%. Believe that 100%. Remaining connected in Jesus, in the vine, remaining connected to the Word, His words remaining in us. I thank God for our daily devotions that we're doing as a congregation. And I tell you, I was talking to Barb about this today. There's two ways that you can do the devotion. One is you can just go to the website, look for the devotional tab, and just go ahead and click it and follow the process so you can do it independently. But there's another way you can do it as well. If you let me know, you can do a joint devotional, meaning that it's the same devotional, but you have the opportunity to give input of what God is speaking to your heart, a sentence or two, or sometimes it's a paragraph, and it's encouraging. Antoine is out traveling the world, or traveling the nation, moving people. He's working now with a moving company. So he's all over the place. And he is, it blesses my heart. Today he posted, and it's an encouragement. So you have a way of either doing it corporately, you know, meaning that we are aware of each other in the journey, which is accountability. I like that. You know, do we need a little accountability? I need some motivation. I think it's good. But take advantage of that. That is an avenue for God's word to speak to you, to be in the word, and to also have an avenue of growing in fellowship in our body in a time where the coming together is challenged. Man, I mean, what's going to be the outcome? If we're not together over time, we are what? Separate. So look for ways to reach in and come together, and that's one of those avenues. And then we see this. The Word of God alive in us. The Word of God living out in our steps. And then when we look again at this image, if we can move ahead to that next image, is that where COVID is taking us right now? Is it bringing more fruit, or is it causing us to dry up spiritually? What is COVID producing in us right now? And I think that's a fair thing, because here we are just doing our thing, you know, living life. Living life. And all of a sudden, I told Heather today, I said, Heather, I feel like I'm in a Twilight episode, Twilight Zone episode. And we look around, like, what in the world's going on? And then this thought, I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be around my brothers and sisters. And then all of a sudden, that may not be a healthy thing to do. What was once seen as a blessing can now be viewed as a potential curse. Now we got to deal with that. We got to process that. And here's the deal. It's in our hands now. What are we going to do with that? I had someone not long ago. You know, they needed a touch, right? They needed a hug. Who doesn't need a hug? Who doesn't need encouragement? We need it. We'll perish without each other. Don't let COVID condition us to where we're used to this. Because to be honest with you, we were dealing with this before COVID. But this has made it a lot easier just to stay in that condition. Verse 9 of John 15. I love this verse. I love this verse. Jesus says, I have loved you just as, don't let that slip by you. I have loved you. Who? Who? Delphine, Austin, Candy, Liz, Tammy, Lizzie, Robert. Put your name in there. Chaz, put your name in there. I have loved you just as, just as the Father has loved me. That just says it all, man. It's like, you're not like, okay, come on, you have a little bit of my love. Yeah. No, it says the standard of how the Father loves me is the standard of how I love you. Simple, put, clear, embrace it, but please focus in on it. Don't reject it, because how often is the fullness of love offered to the heart of man? Here it is. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? Because here's where it all falls into grace. You only perceive it by the measure of faith that God has entrusted to you. And Ron, that measure of faith is different for all of us, but God gives us this opportunity to invest that faith and let it grow and let it grow and let it grow. Right now, the measure of faith that we had before this may not be invested as it once was. And because it's not invested, the consequences of drying up, being disconnected, those opportunities are even greater. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. What does it feel like, Delphine, when the enemy begins to pour in with his words of discouragement in our lives? Reminding us, you know what the enemy reminds us of? How sorry we are. I mean, I don't mean that we're like grieving sorry, just how sorry, how despicable we are. That's what he does. And he comes in and he reminds us, you know, what? Just remember what you did. You remember what you did. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. And then we start thinking, how could God love someone like me? In fact, I hear about a God of vengeance, and I guess his vengeance is all on me right now. Jesus has changed those dynamics. Now, please hear me. This is still a possibility, to be dry and brittle and to be cut off. But Jesus has come and he says, don't doubt my love. But you don't know what my mama said to me. You don't know what my daddy said to me. Don't doubt the love of God. You don't know what that person said to me. You don't know what letter or email I got. Don't doubt the love of God. You don't know how my heart feels right now. Don't doubt the love of God. When we doubt the love of God, we are looking God in the right in his face. When I say that, we're directing our doubt right at his mercy and his grace. And what an insult that is to God. God delights when we remind ourselves, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. Remain. The greatest of all loves is offered to us. Remain in that love. And then 10. What's that word again? One of the most powerful two-letter words in the world. If you keep my commandments and obey my teachings, or my teaching, you will remain in my love. So what's going on here? The remaining of love is an action in our lives. Does it change the quality of his love? By no means. But God is telling us this: my love has value. My love has a place for your steps. My love is a position, meaning this is where my love guards and protects you and grows you. You can choose to reject my love. And that's what it boils down to. The love of God is there. But he's saying, come into the fullness of my love. Love can always be rejected in human relationships and in our relationship with God. So how do I walk into the fullness of God's love? Because it is a direction. It is a path. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Keep my commandments, so that you stay in the protection, in the wisdom of my love. I don't want to do that commandment. There's a reason why I don't want to do that commandment. Remain in my love. Do, apply, obey that commandment. That is where the separation begins. There are commandments that I don't want. How about this? That doesn't fit my lifestyle right now. So I'm not going to obey that one. So the branch begins to be broken. Obey my teaching. How can I obey something that I don't hear? Right? How can I respond to knowledge if I'm not before knowledge? Another break. The authorities tell me that that's okay. But your commands say something else. It's a process. It's not overnight. But with each disobedience comes a lessening of the life-giving power of the vine. And the withering begins. And I believe God will allow us to see the withering to get our attention. But I promise you this: if we justify a breaking of God's commandment and we walk in that, it's another step away from the protection that God wants to cover our lives with. And then, I can't say this strong enough, how can you and I obey teachings that we never sit before? How? How can we do that? It's impossible. So another reason why he says, remain in me and allow my words to remain in you. Love and obedience equals fruit. love and obedience equals the fullness of joy. Because, Ron, if we break it down, and Tammy, if we break it down to the simplest aspect, God has placed us on this earth for one clear reason, is to bring him glory. That's the reason. That's the reason. That is the reason that we're in this place that is filled with chaos and craziness. We are here for the purpose to bring God glory. And we bring God glory through obedience and walking in the covering of his love and producing the fruit that his Spirit has come to produce in us. But then God looks at us and he says, Delphine, I know life is hard. You grew up with how many siblings? 10? Ron, you grew up with how many siblings? 11? Ain't nothing easy about that, right? Nothing easy about that. I have one brother, and that journey has some interesting events in it. But I can't imagine, especially with my mentality, I like to kind of be by myself sometimes, you know? I know that was not easy. Where's by myself? I don't know. Did you ever get up under the bed? And that's probably where I would have gone, is up under the bed. Fullness of joy is what God has destined for you in the chaos, in the confusion, in the pain, even in the dying, being martyred, the fullness of joy. Here, you're going to live to be 90? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe so. Garland's mother-in-law is over 100 and moving along strong. So we don't know how long we're going to live. But we do know this. In light of eternity, it is what? Nothing. That was our study today, wasn't it? And right now is God's opportunity to say, okay, Ron. Okay, Chas. How much of your life is going to bring me glory that we will celebrate throughout all eternity? But right now, God says, even in the struggle, I'm not taking comfort. Well, let me put it this way. I'm not taking joy from you. May take comfort, right? Let me put it this way. He will take comfort. But he will not take joy. In fact, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So hold on, and relax and allow the joy of the Lord to fill you. Amen? Because that's what it's about. He is a joy giver. Here's the promise, verse 11. Why did I bring up this picture, something so depressing as being broken from the branch of life? Why? Why did I tell you, church, that this could be your reality if you don't remain in me, in my teachings and in my word? Why did I paint this picture of not only the beautiful fruit, but the reality of it being the branch, which is who? Is us, the branch, being removed, cast aside, and nothing good comes from it, but to be placed in the fire. That is not a nice story, is it? But it is when you look at the reality of our opportunity to remain. Chance, you know, remaining is so supernatural. And when I say that, we just got to let go. And as the old saying, the bumper sticker may have said, let go, let God. Just enjoy. Enjoy what God is doing in you and through you. It is good, isn't it? It's not a drudgery. And he tells us again, I have told you these things so that my joy vested in you. God's vested in you, Ron. God is sold out for you, Ron. He is very adamant that his full joy be in you. Whose joy? God's joy. Not the joy or the challenges of a bad day, but his complete joy directed to you. I have told you these things so that my joy, and I love this word, and delight may be in you. How you feeling right now? How's your journey right now? But look further. I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. Full and complete and overflowing. Did you have one of those kind of weeks this week? Then I ask you this question. Did you remain connected to the vine through the Word of God? Got to get in his presence. God's goal for Delphine, for every heart that's gathered in this house today and everyone that's coming via Zoom, God's goal for us is full, complete, and overflowing joy. Without bearing fruit, joy will not remain. And then I have to ask you this question. How are you enduring right now? Because I don't know about you, but COVID. I don't like COVID. I don't like COVID at all. I won't even say his last name. No more 19. Just COVID. I don't like you, COVID. Don't like you. How are you enduring through this time? It's a fair question, right? Because our environment, our earth experience, and that's what it is, temporary, should not take the power of the Holy Spirit out of us. If anything, it should cause us to rely on the fruit of patience even more. And again, when that impatience rises up, what does that tell me? Flesh, 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 flesh. You remember the scripture today on YouVersion. Do you have your phone on you, Ron? You don't have your phone? Tammy, you have your phone on you? Because Heather, you got yours too? You got yours? Bring up today's verse, if you will. You see it? Now, Tammy, I'm going to have you read it. I'm going to put the mic up to your mouth that you read it.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
And that is, if our mind is filled with the flesh, it is death. If our mind is filled with the Spirit of God, it is what? Life. It is life. How are we enduring? The condition of the vine will never change. Jesus will never change. The branch is us, and we have a choice whether we stay connected or not. And then, lastly today, I know your patient endurance. I know. Jesus says, church in Ephesus, I am witnessing your journey because I am looking for your life to bring my Father glory. What an opportunity we have to give glory, to bring glory to God. And God celebrates so much that glory flowing through a life that is connected to his son Jesus, bearing beautiful fruit and enduring through it with a patient heart. All that is needed for fruit is provided. And I'm going to ask this morning if we can prepare our hearts for communion today as we bow for a moment in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we recognize that we are not at a distance from our God, but you live in us. You strengthen us, Lord, and that is all made possible by what you did on the cross for us. So as we prepare our hearts today to partake of communion, we ask, Lord, that you would that you would allow us to examine the condition of our branch. Allow us to see if fruit is being produced in a way that is pleasing to you and of your design, or if there is withering, Lord, that is occurring through all that is surrounding us. As we said, prior to this shift, there were challenges. But in this shift, there is even higher challenges, Lord. And we say in Jesus' name, we repent of our sin and we open our hearts to be aligned to the purposes of your heart for us so that the fullness of glory that you've called us to give you will live out in our thoughts, in our steps, and in our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. As you have the communion elements at your home this morning, if you will just ready those and those that are gathered today, we would ask that you would come and receive the communion cup and prepare it, and we will partake of them together in just a moment. Mm-hmm.